Coming up on this episode of Back in My Play, we have a special midweek episode because I wanted to get back together with old friend Joshua Hillier and just talk about games. So we're talking about retro games, we're talking about new games, we're talking about Symphony of the Goddess, we're talking about Pokemon Sun, we're talking about stuff that's going on in Japan, in America, we're going all over the place, just a couple of friends hanging out and talking about video games. I hope you can hang out with us as we go through all that stuff. So much fun again talking with Josh for about an hour and a half. I hope you guys enjoy it, and I'm going to get back to work on the next full episode of Back in My Play. Here it is. Well, welcome back to Back in My Play. My name is Kevin Larrabee, and this is the first episode that we are recording in 2017, and I thought it would be awesome to get back on the show because it's been so damn long, not just on the podcast, but also like just in real life to talk with Joshua Hillier. Josh, how are you?
Kevin, I am feeling optimistic. As I look at 2017, I see a year that was negative and a year that was filled with things that I'd rather not talk about fading into the distance. And I see a bright rainbow in front of me, and I'm going to keep climbing and walking towards that rainbow.
Okay, and that's what you would come to expect from joshuahillier.com's Joshua Hillier, where you can also find the Digital Rights podcast, which you've been really crushing it. You've been really regular in keeping that thing going and getting some great guests on the show. If some people have been under a rock, what's that journey been like to, you know, take Digital Rights and really focus on something that is, I think it's fair to say, somewhat a neglected aspect of video games, and that's the people that are writing them, you know, behind the narratives of these games and the complexities of, you know, writing for, you know, a game that has so many different variables in it.
It's been fun. I mean, that's one of the most important parts of doing a podcast, as you very well know, is that you should enjoy the process of doing it, and you should enjoy the conversations that you're having with people, or else they're certainly not going to be fun for other people to listen to or interesting for other people to listen to. So that's one thing I've tried to approach with every episode, is to make sure it's fun. And so the episodes that I haven't, the times that I have missed a week, you know, you're talking about being regular, it's been because I just didn't really have great content that time around. So that's something that I think is really important, is to care about the people you're having on and to be interested in what you're talking about. And for me, like you were saying, video game writing especially, and just digital writing in general, you know, there's so many websites and podcasts that have written content that just don't get covered. I just wanted to shine a light on that stuff. And I'm passionate about it. I'm passionate about pretty much anything that isn't being talked about enough. You know, that's kind of where I'm interested in underdogs in general in life. So that's what I wanted to do. And the best part, as you also know from doing Back in My Play and all the awesome people you've gotten to know over the years, is just meeting these people. You know, they're such inspirational, creative folks who make these games and who write such creative narratives that I don't know if people really recognize how difficult it is to tell a story, but also allow the person who is reading or experiencing the story to play some role in that. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's a lot harder than it looks. And that's why you end up with so many bad narratives in games. And I've been lucky enough to have some really cool people on who've done some neat things, like Gone Home and Ori and the Blind Forest, and still not quite a big enough name that to get some of the other people I want to have on eventually, but we'll work on that. But yeah, to answer your question, it's been a lot of fun. It's been really cool.
It's always about, you know, getting started, and I think obviously there's like Stephen King's book on writing for writing books, like writing your, you know, your great American novel or whatever.
Right.
But we need like Amy Hennig and like Neil Druckmann to write the on video game writing or on writing for narrative driven video games. That'd be good to see one day.
Yes. Like I legitimately want to be a part of putting something like that together. It's funny that you mention it.
I'll do it. Get
sort
started.
Of the curator of that.
Let's fund it. Let's pre-orders today.
Okay. I'm in.
Let's for this episode, and again, this is not like a regular episode. I thought it was just like good to get an assessment, kind of like what I did last week with Peter Brown, is do a little end of the year and a start of the year episode. So now, if you are a Patreon, like, you're not being charged for this. I just kind of wanted to hang out with Josh and talk about some games, talk about some things that are on my mind going into the new year. And I think it's a really good and a loved thing of this show is that sometimes you really are laser focused on one game and one subject. Mm-hmm. But it's also just fun to hang out and talk about this stuff. Like, you would go down to your, you know, friend's house or be on at recess and be talking about, dude, I rented this game over the last week and you got to go check it out. So I thought that would be fun today. And I think people realize from listening to this show that I'm a weirdo, a little bit when it comes to games, right? Because, like, I mean, Josh, you knew this from tons of episodes where I'll just be like, you know, 4 days before we're going to record, be like, all right, I really want to play this game right now. Can you get it done in, you know, 72 hours so we can play this?
Yes, yes.
And, like,
I love that about you, though, by the way.
Yeah, but it's obviously something that's not really conducive for this show, but it's like the way my life has been over the last couple of years. And Josh and I were talking a little bit off air, which I can't really discuss on air, but, you know, life gets weird sometimes. And with this show, you know, this show and the FitCast that I do, like, it's, they're not really jobs. They're like hobbies. They're enthusiast hobbies that, you know, we have, like you with Digital Rights too. It's like, as you know, from running a podcast, like, you just lose money. Like, you don't, you make negative income if you're doing it for money. It's obviously something you're not going to continue doing, but,
right. Right.
You know, either way, I'm sure we'd be doing this just to hang out, talk about old games, new games or whatever.
Yeah, it's a good excuse to talk about stuff we care about. At least it would be nice to make a living off of it, of course.
Yeah, and that's something that I'm going to try to do in 2017, and it will make a lot more sense probably in the next week or so. But, you know, the way my life is changing, like, you know, I'm going to try to, and the final form of this is not locked in, but trying to see, like, all right, well, is Back in My Place something that could have a little bit more effort put into it and have some more content created for it? And in doing so, like, is that something that the audience wants? And, like, you know, when you kind of trade your time that you would be doing work that you actually like do for a living, like, it's in hopes of hopefully you can do something and supplement it with something like Back My Player, the FitCast, where, you know, people are like, yeah, like, I find value in this and I'm going to help support it so I can get more of this content or more of this stuff produced. So,
Well, and you have the work ethic to pull it off. You know, some people just don't. I mean, there are plenty of really creative people who have great ideas, but it's a grind. You know, it's a lot of work just booking people and finding people who want to be on shows and that sort of thing, and thinking about the topics that you're going to discuss and what makes sense and what doesn't make sense, where there's an audience and that sort of thing. So, you know, you actually have that ability, which helps.
Well, goes back to, like, I have a whiteboard to the right of me right now, which I have, it's literally chock full of notes for Back of My Play and for FitCast, the other show that I do, of, like, you know, stuff that I want to get done this year and the, you know, the perfect case scenario, like, this stuff would work out. And I think last year, in the last couple months, people got a little bit of a glimpse of that with the, you know, going to the PC and video game museum with Sid Bolton, like, shooting videos like that and going and hang out with Benjamin Rivers and hanging out with the guys like Jason up in and the 13AM guys up in Toronto and just filming some stuff and editing that together. Like, that was a lot of fun, but yeah. Super time consuming. And that trip cost me like $800. Like, it's not to mention the equipment and the time that goes into putting that stuff together. But I don't know, like, it's fascinating to kind of watch and see what people actually like, because judging by the views of those videos, like, only 200 people watched the Toronto video. So, like, maybe, I don't know, maybe that's not something that's specific for this audience, where maybe you guys want something that's more specific in retro games. So I've put out feelers to other people in the industry, but like, hey, if I just came over for like 2 days and brought a camera and some microphones, can I just talk to you at lunch or something? So we'll see.
I really liked that though. You know, I hope that you end up with more views or there's some, you know, way to get that, that documentary seen by more people because I thought that was super cool.
Well, again, it's like, it's not like monetized. So it's, for me, it's like, you know, if 50 people watch it or 50,000 people watch it, it's not like, like it's no different really to me. It's just like trying to figure out, all right, well, maybe I just need to like survey the back of my play audience and say like, now, what do you guys like, what would you like to see in if the website and the show expanded over the next, you know, year or so? Like, what's something you'd be like, yeah, that would be great to see. But I don't know. Like, there's so many different avenues. For me, it's like another thing I wanted to talk about is like sometimes I tend to get overwhelmed. Like when you have like I'm sitting at a desk with a pretty good PC, mm-hmm. a PS4. An Xbox One, a 3DS, two 3DSs, and a
PlayStation.
Yeah, I don't know. And a PlayStation Vita. And like sometimes it's like I just don't know which to go to. So that's why I think in the past, like I've always played around with like, all right, well, I'm gonna have some like artificial, like what's the word for it? like artificially limiting
parameters.
Yeah, like I want to like limit my gaming options. So I'm like I focus on stuff or. Like, I don't know if people like who are listening or even like this, where we get backlogs, right? You almost,
yeah, totally.
And you get like overwhelmed. Like, I'm sure like we have 800 Wii U games. Did you get rid of your Wii U?
I did.
Awesome.
Yeah. yeah. I think I talked to you about that a little bit over Twitter or something.
We did. Yeah. And not that the Wii U is bad. The Wii U is, you know, Wii U is a mediocre, okay console, but with a pretty good library. Maybe not as, I think CJ said it's like the best Nintendo library ever.
Yeah.
I don't know if you
if you include like all the GBA games and N64 games and things that are on there.
Nope.
Maybe.
Nope. Can't do that. And I love you, CJ, if you're listening. And I think I totally misquoted you, but Santa has like, you know, one of the best libraries. I just don't see it there personally, and I understand if he does because he's had a hell of a, he got me to play Splatoon, you know.
Yeah, that game's so good.
Yeah, and he's had a hell of a, you know, a ton of hours into like that and Mario Kart and Mario Maker and all that stuff. But I talked a little bit about this with Peter Brown, but and I actually shot a video of this just hours ago about the Switch, and we don't have to go talking too much about the Switch because I'm sure
we
can talk about it briefly, but hopefully you'll go watch this video at youtube.com/fitcastnetwork. But it's all about Nintendo. Like, my hope for the Switch and for Nintendo in 2017 is for them to get out of their own way. It's like what we talked about with Peter Brown is, you know, whether it be completely illogical things like, you know what? Let's put GBA games on Virtual Console. You know where we're gonna put them? On a Wii U.
I know, man.
Let's put DS games up on the store. You know where we're gonna put them? Not on our dual screen handheld.
Mm-mm.
No, that would be dumb. Like, let's put them on the Wii U where they're blown up and they look absolutely gross because they're made for a 2-inch LCD screen from the year 2004. You know what I mean? Like, so
decisions that really baffle and boggle the mind.
Yeah. So hopefully you can go and check out that video. And again, like, that's one of my tests. It's like, it's me standing in front of a green screen. I'm like talking about all this stuff with the videos in the background. And, you know, I have super high hopes for what the Switch will be because, you know, at the end of the day, as much as I don't like the 3DS hardware, like, I think the perfect new 3DS hardware is the 3DS, new 3DS XL, but matte instead of glossy because my hands sweat when I play games on the glossy back.
Yeah.
Which is gross to me. And it doesn't on the matte. So it's not like I have sweaty hands. It's just, it's slippery because the oil has nowhere to go or whatever. So,
The matte. Yeah. I don't know why anybody makes a handheld that's anything but matte. You know, like,
well,
that's
they did the
so
exact opposite. They did the exact opposite with the first iteration. They made the first version, which was a smaller version, glossy, and then the XL was matte, and then they flip-flopped for the next iteration, which is it's again like something that like there is there they need to just hire someone that says that looks at everything and says this doesn't make sense. Like, you guys know this doesn't make sense, right? Like, yeah. They need to hire someone that can just do that and sit in a cubicle in Japan and just have someone bring a tray to them once a day with a bunch of the things that they're making decisions on. Be like, wait, is this dumb or is this smart? Like,
I like
that's
the idea of
it
being like a dessert cart at a restaurant. You know, they just wheel it over.
Yeah, no, just get an intern or something to do it. And that's all you would need to do, because it's like, there's always a compromise with whatever Nintendo does, it seems. And it's, again, it's like, and I apologize, Josh, because I'm like kind of ranting here, and it's also on the video, but you know, I went into a Target today to get some paper towels and some mouthwash. So I'm like, I'm going to go to the Nintendo section.
Okay.
Nothing there. Nothing there. There was a 2DS, which had a returned label, like repackaged by Target thing on it. And it's like, okay, that's your fault. Whoever makes the decision on supply, that's your fault. Like,
right.
It's that. It's the Mario Maker stuff. It's like this is not hard. Like, I could have made this decision for you as well as everyone else on the internet, and it would have been a better decision than what you actually made.
I can't remember. I was listening to a podcast or a YouTube video or something, and the person who was talking made this really hilarious but true point that there's something that Reggie Fils-Aimé wakes up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat, afraid that they've overstocked something and that they're just going to be sitting on unsold inventory. Like, that's his greatest fear in the world, apparently. And it shows, you know, like, they would much rather disappoint and not have product for people to purchase than dare have to like actually put something on sale, you know. And that is disappointing. And I think, was it you who said that you had like five or six different people over the Christmas season say that they couldn't find a 3DS?
Yeah, and like I'm just, and again, it's one of those things where like, no skin off my back. Like, I got a 3DS XL. I got two of those $99 ones because I'm literally stocking them away for, so in 10 years I can play Link Between Worlds again.
Not a bad move.
I'm not even kidding. Like, one of them is sealed. I open up the black one and I have a black 3DS XL. But I stocked the white one away for like in 10 years, because I don't want to use it. It's going to get all gross and dirty if I use it because it's white hardware. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Like, again, I see how beautiful the world of Nintendo could be is if, you know, if they didn't make all these small little seemingly obvious mistakes. Because
and there's one with everything, you know?
Yeah, there's always
one of those small mistakes with everything.
On the Wii, like, it was friend codes, it was the fridge, it was, you know, the lack of ability to, you know, transfer your games from the Wii to the Wii U without having your console do the transfer itself, and then you still needed to pay an upgrade fee if you wanted to play that stuff without going into the, you know, emulation of the Wii. It's just, and again, I apologize. Like, I'm sure people don't want to hear any of this stuff, and it's not like what I wanted to necessarily talk about today, but I guess I'm just still a little bit heated because I just filmed the video for it, and it's just, we got that, we're a week away.
Yeah, and you know, hopefully the positivity will be there. You know, they're going to make a few mistakes. Some of those are already clear. But for me, at least, this is exactly the kind of platform I've wanted for a long time. And you know, knowing how much you like the Vita, and I really like the Vita, and the few games that really allowed you to switch between the PS3 and the Vita quickly, like Rogue Legacy was one where the cloud save system worked really well between the two. I did that. I did that a lot when I was playing that game. I would play it on Vita somewhere else and then play it on PS3 when I was home again and pick right back up. So I'm thrilled about it. And I actually was talking to a few people I know who don't keep up with games but are a little bit more interested in Nintendo right now because of Super Mario Run. Which apparently that's working a little bit. And they were talking to me about the Switch, and they liked that idea. They were like, oh, so you mean like I can the system is the thing, like, is the controller you hold, essentially? And I was like, yes. And they just, like, could not believe that they're actually doing that. Because they, and they said, like, that's what I thought the Wii U was. And then I realized you can't take it out of your house or even a few feet away from the room you're in. And, you know, it kind of ruined it for me. So I think this might have more mainstream appeal than people are expecting.
I completely agree. It's just going to be the case of messaging, packaging, and supply.
Yep.
Because
supply, especially.
Yeah, like I'm going to pre-order one, and I will be fine. But I think it at some point it's got to bite them in the ass. It's not artificial scarcity, but we're talking 2 months since the NES Classic Edition came out. You still can't find one.
I've never seen anything like that. I really haven't. I mean, I remember the Wii situation very well. And some of that was artificial demand at first, but then it was real demand after that. And just so many people wanted it that the demand kept up through, like, you know, May of the following year or something. But the NES Classic situation is just a gross miscalculation of how many people would want it. And that's been a bummer to see as well. There's still $180 on Amazon.
Yeah, it's and I'm like looking at mine and like I have a Famicom Mini 2 and it's like you guys just like download Nesticle. It's and you use the HDMI out on your laptop and go to your TV and get two of those 8-bit dough wireless controllers or get the cheap like $14 ship of Famicom USB controllers from Buffalo and it's way better because you're not. You don't have 30 games. You have a billion games, and it's...
There's something about that package, though. I mean, I think that the system itself is one of the smartest things Nintendo's done in a long time. I mean, it's just so adorable and, like, instantly nostalgic for such a large group of people.
But it's gone mostly unused for me because you... like, I've been using the Famicom one more, and that's what I ended up bringing to parties in the holiday because you still can't find a second goddamn controller for that thing.
I know, yeah. I'm lucky enough that I have that Super Famicom controller that came out for the Wii with Club Nintendo in Japan.
Oh, yeah.
And so I've been hooking that up as my second controller.
Jeez,
thankfully.
That must have cost you some money.
Yeah, my wife gave it to me. It was a...
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. I got it while I was on Back in My Play.
So... what's your collection like these days? Are you're running pretty slim?
I'm running pretty slim, yeah. Are you talking about retro specifically or video games in general?
In general.
So,
because you had a pretty big collection, and I think we both like went back and forth with buying potentially too much stuff.
Yeah, you and I parallel each other pretty closely in a number of ways, but also in terms of the, like, it's really fun to collect a lot of games and get a nice collection and backlog going. And then you kind of don't want that clutter in your mind and in your life and your physical space, which not everybody understands that, and fair enough, but I very much don't like a lot of clutter. And so then there's this period of selling, and then there's sort of this gradual pull back into collecting and picking up some things, or someone announces something really great, or there's a deal you can't pass up. So long story short, I don't have a lot of classic stuff right now. I have a Super Nintendo. I have a Sega Saturn. It's a Japanese Sega Saturn with the cartridge so that I can play U.S. games as well. And I have an N64. I have the NES Classic. I don't have an NES at all right now. And I have a Sega Genesis. And that's it at the moment.
No Sega CD.
No Sega CD. Oh, I have a Dreamcast. Also have a Dreamcast. But I don't have most of these hooked up. The only one I actually have hooked up at the moment is the Sega Saturn, just because I really love playing fighting games, and the fighting games are so good on that.
That's a pretty good, that's a pretty solid lineup, and I think, I don't know, I think it's always, and for me, and like I'm sure it is for other people that listen to this stuff, like it's kind of just fun to get like really into PC Engine or TurboGrafx stuff for like 6 months and like really explore the catalog, have fun searching eBay and finding like some imports, or, you know, getting an EverDrive, or, you know, for me it was like one of my trips to Tokyo was like, all right, well, I'm basically looking for Saturn and PC Engine. That's it.
Right.
And that's like cool to have a focus like that. But, you know, eventually you're, they just like, they're kind of sitting on the wall, and I'm like, I have like $1,000 worth of PC Engine games or Saturn stuff like sitting on my wall that I can't really do episodes on. Like there's games that I guess I could do like a Guardian Heroes episode or something like that.
Everybody wants a bug episode, right?
No, no.
People aren't clamoring for that.
No, I think if with the PC Engine stuff, I think I'm going to do a Soldier series with Kurt, talking about like a Superstar Soldier, and even getting into like Blazing Lasers, like the awesome vertical shooters.
Yeah, that game's so bad.
I mean, yeah, the whole series is just ridiculous. And I'm trying to, that's why it's tough. It's like going into the third year, fourth year or whatever of the show is trying to figure out, all right, well, what's next? Like I have a bunch of, like, again, I got that whiteboard. I have actually have 22 games written down right now.
Okay.
But it's like, there's some obvious stuff like Super Metroid. You should do that. Even stuff like Link's Awakening. Like I scheduled an episode with CJ a year ago to do that. We did like Link Between Worlds instead.
oh, you guys haven't recorded that one yet.
No, like it was one of those things where I'm like, all right, I just like, I got through the first four dungeons of Link's Awakening in a flight or something like that. I'm like, all right, CJ, next week we're going to do it. I'm like, all right, I'm just not, ran out of gas.
Yeah, I understand. But I actually just finished playing that game a month ago. And yeah, there's a period where it gets to be a real slog. It's worth finishing though.
Oh, it totally is. And it's a game that has a really, like, it is one of those perfect back of my play games, because I have a friggin' weird history with that and like an obsession with that game, yet I've never finished it. But it's, again, it's like when I boot it up on my 3DS, it just looks like crap. And if I play the perfect pixel version, it's so small, and I'm 30, I'm old, so I can't see anything. Actually, that's not true. I actually have good vision, but I like things blown up. It's why I have a 3DS XL and all that stuff. But yeah. I don't know. It's I think I've hit a perfect balance with my collections these days. Like I haven't bought anything in like large amounts. It's been like, for Christmas, I got a couple games for the 3DS. I got a Vita game, and like January is going to be nuts for Japanese video games on the PlayStation 4.
Totally. Totally. Are you excited about Resident Evil 7? There's so many things I want to talk to you about, but yeah, speaking of January and video games, Resident Evil 7, any interest there?
Yeah, I played through the demo, and that was okay. I actually played through the Nier demo last night too, which was really good.
I don't have a PS4 right now. I have an Xbox One S. But I really am thinking I need to get a PS4 since The Last Guardian finally came out, and I adore Ico and Shadow of the Colossus. So I feel like I owe it to myself to play that game.
Yeah, I think like I have a Pro, but if I, in hindsight, I probably would have just stuck with a regular PS4.
Well, you have a 4K monitor, right?
I do, but I don't.
So do I.
Yeah, but it's, well, I don't know. Like if maybe I'm cheap as hell these days, guys. Like I am saving so much money right now, and again, it will make sense in a while, but like I'm saving every penny possible, and I'm like, oh man, I could have saved $120 because I think I sold my PS4 Slim for $200, and I got that for like $340 on one of those crazy Black Friday deals. Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, no, I'm probably again being like somewhat illogical there, but Yeah, I'm looking forward to Resident Evil. I will definitely play it. If it can give me some Silent Hill Shattered Memories vibes, that would be good.
And it kind of looks like that's where they're heading with it. It's more like psychological and spiritual horror, and less, you know, like there's a bunch of monsters and lots of explosions going on here.
Yeah, I honestly don't know what to think about it, because all I did was play that demo and I got the bad ending.
Which one's the bad ending?
I don't remember. Like, I went down that little, I went down the ladder,
mm-hmm.
and I think one of the dudes was like facing another wall and I died or something like that. It was very Blair Witchy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think for me, January is more about Dragon Quest VIII. It's nice. It's about Yakuza 0.
I totally forgot that's happening.
Yeah.
Is that PS4 only?
Yeah.
I assume? Yep.
Okay. And like you said, there's Resident Evil, there's Nier, there's like January is just an absolute jam. Like, it is totally like the second year of the 360 levels of January release schedule, where everything is coming out. It's like we're getting Lost Planet all over again.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's exciting, though. Nier, what is it? Automata? What's it? The second part of that title?
Yeah, something like it's Automata.
Automata. That's Platinum, right? Who actually developed that one? Yeah.
The demo is friggin' incredible. Like, it is. It totally has vibes of Bayonetta, which yes. I know you'll like.
Speaking my language, yes.
And it has a really weird set of characters, which is very near.
Mm-hmm.
The music is insanely good. And I think the only thing that worries me is it's like, I wish it didn't spend, like, there's some like kind of monster rooms that you have to just kill everything in the room to move on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you guys just like, you're wasting my time. Just let me keep moving. Like, I know it is fun fighting these little robot dudes, but I want to go.
Yeah. Yeah. That's something that John Irwin and I were talking about. Do you know John? He wrote the Super Mario Brothers 2 book for Boss Fight.
I don't know him. I know of him.
Yeah. Yeah. He's awesome. He's great. You'd really like him. Anyway, he was on the latest.
He's Win-Win or something on Twitter, right?
Yeah, Win-Win Irwin.
Yeah.
I don't know what the story is with that, but that's his name. And we were talking about playing games and wanting to move forward. We were talking mainly for like narrative reasons, but gameplay as well, but being forced to keep doing a gameplay mechanic that you get at that point. It's like, okay, yeah, I fought these guys. I get how the combo system works or whatever. Cool. Mm. But you have to keep doing it. And if games should be more lenient on letting the player move past a segment when the player has decided that they're ready to move on, you know, especially with narrative. And Nier is if it's anything like the first game, narrative is a pretty important part of it. So that's not too surprising, though, to hear that Platinum would spend too much time on you beating people up.
Yeah, it has a really good look to it, and it runs at 60, at least on the Pro. It looks really good, and you know, again, the music, and you know, there's a guy producing it that wears a, you know, what would you call that? Like a mask all the time. So that's fun.
I didn't know about him wearing the mask all the time, but
You should go watch the, what would have been the Square Enix. Is it Square Enix? Yeah, it is. Watch the Square Enix press conference from last year or 2 years ago, or maybe it was either from 16 or 15 E3, where, you know, he comes up on stage, and you know, that's totally cool. I think that's kind of rad to have like a character character producer or game developer. Along with that, we're also getting Tales of Berseria, which is, you know, if you like the Tales of games, that's going to be on your list. Like, the PS4 just has a ridiculous month because Gravity Rush 2 is coming out as well.
Were you a fan of the first one? One of the big Vita exclusives, certainly.
Yeah, I really liked it. I have the remastered version sealed in the plastic because it was like $10.
Nice.
Maybe I'll play that someday, but I know I really like it. Good music, good character, cool world. The fighting was a little rough, like the combat in it.
Yeah, it was mainly just like hitting one button or like locking onto things and like propelling and yourself at them. Yeah. But still, that like the fact that it all works, even on the Vita, you know, I was always amazed, like, oh, I'm now standing sideways or upside down and everything works and there's no like drop in frame rate or anything. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, so January is nice, and then I'm going to give this, I'm not like pre-ordering this or anything, but since I don't have a Wii U, it might be cool. I heard some decent things about Yoshi's Woolly World, and that's coming to the 3DS, so I might give that a look. And
do you like playing platformers where the goal is more about like collectibles than finishing the level?
I mean, I thought Yoshi's Island was okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we did. You'll like this. It's a fun game. It's really cute.
I mean, Yoshi's New Island was not very good.
No, this is much better than that. That art style is banging. I mean, it looks so good.
Yeah, but it all comes down to, you know, how is it going to run on the 3DS hardware at the end of the day? Is it going to be a Hyrule Warrior situation, or is it going to be a... you know what would be good? Like, you know what's actually replaying? Because it was, I don't know how, I think it was like a Club Nintendo year-end freebie thing. But I had Donkey Kong Country Returns for the 3DS.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
And I would love to see, I never played Tropical Freeze. I would love to see that ported to the 3DS too.
I just wonder, because Returns was on the Wii, and so there wasn't as much downgrading visually.
But they just gotta, it's a slider. All they do is they click on the slider and they pull it left, and that's all it is. Like, I mean,
just
if they
choose
can,
the resolution you want, right?
Right. If they're doing it with, you know, Yoshi's Woolly World and they're doing it with Hyrule Warriors, I'm sure they could figure it out for this. And I don't know. I'll give it a look, but it's, I'm still very curious to see how like the whole Switch 3DS relationship is going to work out. And, especially with like Dragon Quest 11, which looks ridiculously good.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to be able to play that on a handheld, and I just don't think the Switch is a handheld at all.
No, I mean, in terms of practicality, not really. Mainly more for like adults in terms of how we use a tablet, you know, like maybe throw it in a bag and that sort of thing. But it's not a pocket device.
Like, you could have a backpack, but also if it's got like a rumored 2 hour battery, 2 to 3 hours of battery life, like, how long are you going to be playing for? Like, it's like even the 3DS, like, my trick now is you shut off 3D, you shut off Wi-Fi, you get 5 to 6 solid hours out of a 3DS with level 4 brightness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, which is plenty bright.
Which is plenty bright. And even you can go lower if you're on an airplane. And, like, I can get 5 to 6 solid hours out of that. I just don't know. Again, hopefully, like, this will say, like, oh, yeah, Switch has 6 hour battery life. Boom. That's plenty. Give me 6 and it'll be good to go. But also,
that's not happening, man.
Yeah. And I don't, are you running XL right now? Or are you running the smaller one?
The smaller one. I have the white one that you have, actually.
It's so much more convenient,
right?
I've
had it for a long time. Yeah. Yeah. I got it. I got the Animal Crossing one. Yeah, exactly. And then I bought those faceplates because they just look so clean on there, you know, where it's like kind of minimalistic and you don't even notice that there's a design until you see it in the right light. So I've been rocking those for a while. I was honestly a little sad I was happy that they announced a $100 bundle just so more people would get it at a good price.
Right.
But I was sad that my cool faceplates were not going to be original anymore.
Well, also, we paid like $230 for that thing. It was $229, right?
Yeah, yeah. I ended up getting a deal on it, but still, it was only like $30 off. So
yeah, we're idiots.
Sucks.
Pretty much. Total idiots. Yeah, it's and this is actually something that I just got an email about, so I thought it'd be worth sharing with everyone. They're actually, you got to go to this, and I want to hear your impressions of this, but you went with CJ to the Legend of Zelda concert.
Yes.
What do they call that? Is it it's Symphony of the
Symphony of the Goddesses.
Yeah, okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
How was that? Because I saw that there, and I pre-ordered it, but they are putting out a two-disc CD plus a DVD collection via Amazon Japan, or it's being sold in Japan. You can order it and get it shipped to America, though, for 4,800 yen. So that's like, what, $40? Yeah. What did you think of the event?
It's incredible. Like, if you are a fan of Zelda, speaking to the listener, because I know you are, but if you're a fan of the Legend of Zelda series and have played multiple games in the series, you just have to do this at some point in time. It's, first of all, the atmosphere and overall vibe was just so positive, and everybody was so excited to be there. There was just this buzz from the second that everyone walked in. And then just hearing that music playing and being played so well by a professional orchestra, it's unreal. And then the synchronization with the video throughout it, like actually I looked at what the conductor was doing. Mm-hmm. And like she had a screen that would have that had like a visual of a metronome essentially. And so she had to like start everybody at the same time to synchronize everything with the video always. And they never messed that up, which is just an incredible thing. And they covered so many games from the series when we went. I think that they did. And they tried to do some different ones because this was their second tour. Mm-hmm. They'd been to Atlanta once already.
You get some Minish Cap tunes.
No Minish Cap tunes, but they did do Triforce Heroes, which I was kind of surprised by. Yeah, that was apparently the first time they played those songs.
Yeah, that's got Triforce Heroes. The music is the one saving grace of that unfortunate thing. And Philip Summers like was tweeting at me a couple weeks ago about this, and like, yeah, you want to listen to some good music, pull up the Triforce Heroes soundtrack on YouTube, which unfortunately there is no soundtrack available on disc, which, come on, guys.
Yeah, that's the whole Nintendo soundtrack situation is one that I wish would change. I mean, I would buy those things on iTunes.
Well, guess what I bought, and we'll talk about this in a little bit after we talk about the Symphony of the Goddess stuff, but mm-hmm. like I'm really into Pokemon Sun right now. Like, I don't know how this happened, but I really like Pokemon Sun. And you can we'll talk about it. But I went and I was gonna order the soundtrack from Japan. It's like, okay, it's like $42 plus shipping, but I really like it. And like, one of my things is I try not to buy a lot of games, but I will allow myself to buy video game music because like I just rip the CDs and I put the CDs in a closet and I never see them. So I'm like, all right, well, I'll do it. I ordered it. I placed submit. And then like a couple minutes later, I went on iTunes. The soundtrack, the same exact soundtrack with all like 120 tracks or whatever is $10.
Oh, it actually was on iTunes.
Pokemon Sun and Moon is, yeah. Huh. But they don't, like Nintendo, because it's not published by Nintendo.
It's Game Freak or Pokemon Company.
It's published by the Pokemon Company. So... you are able to go on iTunes right now, and actually want to pull it up real quick so I can give you guys some exact directions. But they don't do the good job like Sega does, and that's weird. Some of their soundtracks are published by the Pokemon Company. Some are Game Freak. This is actually under Game Freak. So if you search for Game Freak, it will pop up. But yeah, dude, $10 for what is, I'm going down this list right now, is 169 tracks.
That's incredible.
It's like and it's not like, some of it's short, like some of it is, let's see if I can actually, some of them are like when a trainer sees you, like it's like a 10 second piece of audio, but like a bunch of these are, you know, the complete like city tracks. And I'm totally gonna use this music for the show, but like,
that's what we need. Like, why can't I get Super Mario Galaxy 2 soundtrack that way? You know, like that's probably my favorite video game soundtrack ever.
Well, and you can import it or just email me after this.
Okay.
So talk to me about the experience. How much were the tickets?
The tickets were pretty expensive. So, I mean, it was actually at a performing arts center, one of the most beautiful performing arts centers I've ever been in. you know, nicer than like Shakespeare Festival and in various places I've been in New York. And it was just, it was really an incredible venue. But as a result, you're certainly paying for it. I think
this is in Hotlanta, right?
This is in Hotlanta,
in the ATL,
Hotlanta, Georgia, in the ATL, where yeah, some artistic things do go down.
Was Nelly there?
Nelly was there. Yep, he rapped and did a little thing about Zelda before the whole show started.
The Hyrule rap,
mm-hmm,
from the Hyrule TV rap. Show.
He did the Donkey Kong rap, the DK rap, actually, if you remember that one. That's so bad, by the way, if you've ever heard it. Oh my goodness!
Is this from like the cereal?
It's from the N64 game, the Donkey Kong rap. I think that they do it like during the opening credits or something. It's really hilarious. Yeah. I'll find it for you and send it to you if you want to put it in the show notes.
I think we'll save people from that.
No. They need it. They need it in their lives, Kevin. They might want it for their like wedding music or something. So we need to get that to them.
Have you seen, never mind. Forget about it. I'm going to get us off track. Keep going.
Bring it on. I want to get off track a little.
No, it was, what is it? It's, oh my God, I have the, see, this is one of my favorite movies. If you listen to the Fakecast, you might have heard me talk about this a little bit because it's kind of how we roll there sometimes. But the movie is About Time.
No, I've not seen About Time. All right, which folks, I always feel guilty when I haven't seen a movie as a film instructor.
What I want you all to do is I want you, if you got a date, if you got a loved one, you want to bring your partner to a movie or watch this. Actually, you can bring them to your TV or to your laptop and watch this on iTunes. Get some Rachel McAdams action.
Okay.
Then you're also getting the Domhnall Gleeson, one of the bad guys from the new Star Wars movie, Star Wars 7. Mm-hmm. And you got Bill Nye, who is not the science guy, but Bill Nye, like the classical English actor, and your heart will absolutely melt watching this. It's a cool time travel story.
I'm into it. Okay, I'll add that to my list.
Rated R. Just heads up,
okay,
guys.
Yeah, so don't bring the kids to the laptop for this viewing.
No nudity, just some Fs and some Ss. Yeah.
I like the idea of gathering the family around my laptop to watch a movie.
I don't even have a TV, man. I got to do it.
Yeah, well, fair enough. You have the monitor, though, so I mean, that's cool. The symphony though, like we had the cheap seats and they were like $50.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. Yeah. And we were in the upper area. I mean, granted, it was still a really good view. But it's worth it. I mean, if it's not the kind of thing you do very often, it's definitely worth it. I mean, honestly, I would have considered paying $100 to have been on the floor level, just to have really captured the experience a little bit more. So yes, very cool events, and something that CJ and I talked about afterwards was just how cool it is to see where the video game industry is now, that something like this exists, and it's no big deal, you know? Like, it's not
and
something
and it's sold
that,
out.
Yeah, and it sells out, though, too, but it's not something that, you know, Nintendo's trying to promote everywhere or even making that big of a deal out of. It just is self-sustaining, just like if Star Wars did something like this. And it's really fun, and you can tell the appreciation that people have. I saw some people shedding some tears during some moments.
Sure.
I saw some kids with their parents kind of bonding over it. So I saw lots of people street passing, but everybody was really polite and put their 3DSs away when the music would start, because you had the opening of the performance, and then also after the break. When we came back, everybody closed it immediately when the lights would go low. So, you know, there was sort of a respect that we were in a performing arts center that I wasn't sure would be there, with an audience that, you know, most likely doesn't normally go to these sorts of things. So it was really cool. I highly recommend it.
Yeah. Seems like a good place to pick up a hot date too.
I saw several people on dates and they were dressed really nicely.
No, I was
going to
say, I bet there was a bunch of Zeldas.
A lot of people, with wisdom, power, and courage, and whatnot. It's something that I didn't know how to dress to. So I will say, if you're going to this, you should dress pretty nicely. Like, you don't want to go full on tie, but you definitely want to tuck your shirt in. You know, maybe
someone
wear
wearing like a Zelda T-shirt from Target.
Yeah, you saw a little bit of that. You saw a little bit of that, but no one was judged. I mean, the staff didn't ask you to leave or anything.
Right, like who cares? Like we're playing, you know, I understand like the need to for a formal event and stuff like that, but I'm sure there was a bunch of kids there too. And let's just have some fun and listen to some, you know, music from Skyward Sword.
Yes, totally. Well, and that was one of the really big moments was the Skyward Sword stuff. But I was sad they didn't play any Breath of the Wild music. I was thinking maybe, just maybe. I mean, this was back in September, so they might do it on their next run that they do. But, you know, the latest trailer was out and everything, and there was music in that trailer. So I thought maybe they'd do that, but it didn't happen.
Yeah, I hope that game brings it.
It will.
It's just like been in production for 42 years.
Yeah, something. Yeah, give or take. The only thing I'm not excited about with Breath of the Wild, because believe me, I think it looks like the. Oh no, I said believe me. I didn't mean to say that. Trust me. The only thing that I'm excited about it, but the only thing I'm not excited about when I see it is the kind of crafting stuff that's going on in it. I don't like crafting as a mechanic. Yeah, I mean, I know most people do.
No, I dig what you're feeling. I understand. Yeah. Like this, like, come on, man, just let me pick up hearts. I want to do stuff, not make food.
Yeah,
this
like that's just not
this
interesting.
Isn't Monster
to me.
Hunter,
right? Right. I just don't like spending a ton of time in menus. I like upgrading my stats and things like that in games, but not when I have to remember what goes with what in order to craft something. So I hope that doesn't become too big of a thing in the game.
I wonder if they're just trying to like grab that Monster Hunter audience because you know the past couple generations, Zelda games have not sold very well.
Right.
In Japan, it's very much a Europe and a Western franchise. So maybe they're just trying to say, hey, guys, this is basically Monster Hunter. This is basically, you know, all those games where you get to fight big monsters, make some food, and upgrade all your like little bits of equipment along the way.
Yeah, maybe they're trying to make it a little bit more palatable for the audience who's drifted away from it, or it was never an audience to begin with. Not sure, but in terms of scope and scale and narrative and art style and all that stuff, the game looks incredible, certainly.
Well, let's talk about, and this ended up being a whole Nintendo episode, I guess, but it's kind of how it is.
Yeah,
I mean, we talked about Sony stuff a lot, but at least in terms of old stuff and franchises, and PC Engine was mentioned a couple times, and Sega CD. So I want to talk a little bit about Pokemon and Pokemon Sun.
Okay, yeah, which, by the way, I remember, and you said it on Player One recently when you were on the show, and I remember you talking about this years ago. Your trouble with the Pokemon series has always been the sort of parallel to dog fighting.
The dog fighting conundrum.
Yeah. So now but this is the first one you've really enjoyed in a long time.
I mean, I've never really played them since Red and Blue. I got X for free as like, again, a Nintendo reward or like a digital version of that. So I had Pokemon X and I played a couple, maybe like an hour and a half of that and just got super bored because I think the problem with me with those games is that there wasn't really like a narrative. There wasn't really a direction otherwise other than, hey, you're a kid, you're going to go to this guy, you're going to go to this woman, you're going to beat them, and you're going to get a badge, and you're going to go to the next town, and you're going to do it all over again. It's like, it wasn't super inspiring for me. I can understand how an 8-year-old would look like dig that because when I was... Whoops, I almost fell down. When I was in, like, sitting with my legs up to do this podcast, when I was in 7th grade, like, that's when Red and Blue came out. Like, I was obsessed with the show. I was obsessed with the game. But it was only for that game. It was only for that season of the show. And then it was, then I was done with it.
Which is fair.
Yeah, like, I got a PlayStation, you know? Like, I moved on from that, and I think the Game Boy Advance was coming out relatively soon after that. So I just like completely missed them, and nothing about them really sucked me back in, and it seemed like they almost got harder and harder to get into because now there's like 1,000 Pokemon, and they're like, I never see the Pokemon that actually have like affection for, I guess, like your Koffings or your Snorlaxes or your not Digdugs, but like Digites or whatever they are. I forget what they're called. But
oh man, I wish it was Digdug though.
Yeah, they couldn't get the license. So I ended up getting this as a Christmas gift. So I'm like, all right, well, I'm not going to like say like I don't want Pokemon. I'm going to return it. I ended up opening it up and playing it. And first off, visually it does look really good.
Yes, it does.
It's a good looking game, not like graphically, but art style is really good.
Mm-hmm.
The 3DS is still, what is it? 7 years old? 7 years old.
Six
years old.
It came out in 2011. Yeah.
Okay. So we got 6 year old hardware. And I like it because first you get introduced to, like, it's the same start. You're still a kid who is, you know, a child of a single mom, and you get introduced to someone that will give you a Pokemon as a starter, and you get going. So I was like, all right, it's kind of the same stuff, but I'm like, all right, the music's kind of good, the graphics are good, like the battle animations are really good. And what made it finally click with me is I'm like, all right, and especially now that, and someone was asking, and I'm going to make sure I pull it up here while we're doing it. Someone was asking on Twitter, you know, what do you think of, it was Luke, what do you think of the status stuff that's in the menus during battles now, where it will basically remind you like, yeah, this move is effective, or it's not so effective, or it's very super effective, like all that stuff. I'm like, that is gigantic for me because I don't want to memorize the weaknesses and strengths of all these different types of Pokemon and all these, you know, Pokemon in general, or trying to figure out what did I use last time. This is what made Persona totally approachable for me, Persona 4 specifically, because you could click on someone that you're about to fight and it will say like, oh, they're weak to, you know, fire, weak to ice. Like that is lowers the barrier to entry. And, you know, I don't know how this happened, but now everyone talks about quality of life in video games. I don't know how this became a term that we use to talk about, you know, how menus work and how, like, it's again in Zelda, like, I don't want to make food all the time, but the setup is so much more easier for me as someone that isn't super familiar with the series. And again, it just like looks good. The animations are really good. And I go into this with like a really like pissed off like attitude. Like I mean this in a positive way, where I'm like, dude, this like old man George or old farmer Billy just challenged me to a Pokemon match. You got one level 13 Pokemon. I'm about to F you up, dude. I got level 20. I have a level 20 fire Pokemon, and you got like a plant Pokemon. You are about to be torched. And you know what? I'm even going to use my Z special, whatever the hell it's called, and I'm going to really torch you because you're talking all this garbage, like those Skull Kids. Like there's antagonistic kids again that are trying to like steal people's Pokemon. I'm like, I'm about to F you dumb punks up. I have so much better Pokemon, and you're a dumbass. You're carrying around a Pokemon. I got six, and they're all higher level than yours. You're done. So, I don't know. Like, that's been kind of cool, just being like that aspect of just having, like, a different mindset and almost, like, role-playing when I'm doing it as, like, I'm just going to mess a bunch of kids up. So,
yeah. I know. You feel, like, more attachment to what you're doing, it sounds like.
Yeah, and I don't name my Pokemon. I'm keeping it as simple as possible. I'm like basically beelining from objective to objective to objective. I'm not searching for Pokemon. I'm just like, because what happens is you like end up searching in the weeds, and you see the same Pokemon a dozen times in hopes of seeing a different Pokemon, a rare one, once. Which even if you play it perfectly, if you get them down to just a sliver of health left, and you use like a good Pokeball, like sometimes you still won't be able to catch them. Like, screw this. I'm just going to keep moving. So I've been kind of like staying on the well-worn path and going from objective to objective to objective. And the writing, I mean, it's right. It's Nintendo. It's Treehouse, right? I believe that did this. So the writing is superb. It's the characters are superbly written and for a kid, but also for adults. And the character names are like so dumb in a good way. Like, again, it's like antistic, angry Farmer George or something like that. Or it's like overly sympathetic Sally or something like that. And it's just kind of fun.
I love it. I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's just really like, you'll just walk by someone who will just like glare at you and then you get pulled into a Pokemon battle. It's like, I love it when Pokemon battle. It's like the only thing that makes me feel like, it's not like that dramatic, but it's like kind of funny stuff like that. Like all these people, like the world revolves around Pokemon for these people.
Right.
And when you think about it, it's like, nothing happens in this world unless a Pokemon is doing it. And everyone is just battling these monsters against each other. It's just, I don't know. I'm actually, like I said, I'm really enjoying it. And like, I've had a really stressful couple weeks, so it's been fun to just have a game that is bright and colorful and happy and, you know.
Yeah, island vibes.
Island vibes. Like, I really want to go to Hawaii. So like, it was kind of like the right game at the right time. And like I said, like the music is so good. And the only thing that bums me out is, again, it's like I was messing around with a bunch of games. So it's not like the 3DS has low audio output. It's like some games have low audio output. Some games are perfectly fine, but some games, like, I can barely hear, like, I can hear the music, but I don't hear it like I want to hear it, like, to get fired up.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you watch Pacific Rim, are you going to watch that with, like, the volume mostly turned down?
Heck no.
Right?
Yeah, I got the 4K version of that, by the way.
Oh, good call.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So what do you, have you played this?
No, I haven't. I'm just not a Pokemon guy, and I feel guilty about
it. What turns you off from it?
I've been trying to pinpoint it for years, you know, because I'm such a big Nintendo fan, and so people assume that I like Pokemon, and I wish I did for that reason.
Have you ever played through one of them?
Yeah, I played through Y. I didn't finish it, though, but I played Y for a few hours. Well, I think one thing I don't really like, and I know this sounds dumb, it's like, well, that's kind of the point, is that there's so many of them. I like collecting them, but then it's like, well, am I supposed to level up all of these? You know, like,
no, that's, okay.
I just want to concentrate on a couple of them.
Totally. I basically, like, I've caught a bunch and I never, like, swap them out. I've been using, like, the same six for most of the game. And if I see, like, I get one that is, like, a little bit higher level, it's like, oh, dude, like, I really need a good electric Pokemon, like, because I just don't right now. Mm-hmm. I will hold on to them and keep going. I just keep it, like, really balanced. And for the most part, if I find I run into a Pokemon that I need to, like, I don't have yet, I'll give it one shot. If I don't catch him, if I kill him, no problem. It's not like I'm going to keep walking around the grass. I think that's where some of us that actually, for lack of a better sense, like, have less time than money. We would rather go play. Like, I played all the way through Mario 3D Land again over Christmas. I played through Link Between Worlds again over
and
Christmas.
They're all gameplay, you know, all the time. No filler.
No, you're not, like, spending time reading stuff. You're not spending time, like, having someone show me around the town. Like, I haven't seen a GD Pokemon Center before. Like, guys, I know it's on the map. I know where it is. It's okay. I'm good. But like, that's why like Dragon Quest VII is a huge bummer, because I'd love to play through that, but it's so much filler. So, and I hope 8 is not that.
Are you saying filler? What's counting as filler there? Like, a lot of crafting and things of that nature? Or are, like, you talking about dialogue parts?
Too much dialogue, too much, like, walking from place to place, really not having any progression in the game. Like, that is, like, that's what kind of worries me about Nier a little bit. It's like, I love the action, but if, like, dude, if you're going to make me go into room after room after room and fight stuff, like, that's going to be a problem for me. It's why people have so much trouble getting through the first 10 hours, or it's really like the first 6 hours of Persona 4, because it's tons of dialogue. It's tons of introducing you to characters, tons of, like, basically treating you like you've never played an RPG before, so you understand the mechanics, which I appreciated. But
I did too. Yeah.
Right. And it's like, but after that, you know, you're basically moving, and it moves. And this is where I was like, dude, should I get Animal Crossing? Because I feel like that would kind of move.
Yeah, yeah. It's more like, what do you want to make of the experience? you know? So yeah. Like if you enjoy like emergent gameplay and things of that nature, it works pretty well.
Right.
And it's charming.
It's super charming. And I think like that's what I've realized over the years is like, I want games like that go. It's like, you guys know, I like Fast and Furious. I like Doom is probably my favorite game of this year. If it's not that, it's like Titanfall 2.
Yep.
Or it's Uncharted 4. Like, it's one of those games that like mostly is going all the time. And there's always constant progression. What I don't like to do is, even I think Chrono Trigger kind of has a problem with this a little bit.
Maybe. Not as bad as some JRPGs, but yeah, it does a little bit. I played it last year on DS for the first time, which is pretty much the best way to play that game these days, unless you have the Super Nintendo cart.
Yeah, I got three copies of it.
Nice, man. Of the cart?
No, of the DS game. Because
of the DS game, yeah.
I bought it twice in the last 2 years on the Square Enix Black Friday sale, and it was $5 both years. I'm like, I might as well get an extra copy. You never know.
Crazy. It's crazy. Yeah, that's going to be worth something one day, too, because that's the best way you can play that game. But anyway, I felt like it moved pretty well. It was pretty well streamlined overall. I don't know, like, these are things that are not really black and white, you know, where there really is it kind of depends on the circumstance, like, because you were talking about Persona 4, and I don't mind the beginning of Persona 4, but I do mind the beginning of Pokemon. But really, they're kind of similar, you know, in terms of a lot of hand-holding and
introducing
you to things.
This is so much better than the X. Like, you get going super fast in this game, which is probably why I appreciate it. And actually, you know what I've been going is, like, I've been going through, it's a good podcast game because you spend some time, like, walking from destination to destination where you will run into battles, and, like, you don't need to pay attention to really what's going on. You're just fighting these buttheads that see you on a trail and that want to fight. So,
yeah,
it's been,
but you,
like,
can't beat a good podcast game. I mean, that's
exactly
the best way to play games. Dead Rising 4 has been for me.
Oh, yeah. I actually, God, I can't believe how cheap that game is.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's like kind of what it's turned into for me. It's like I'm listening to old game podcasts from like 08 and 09, just because I don't know if I can necessarily talk about why, but I am. So
okay. Fair enough.
It's just it's a good one of those games, and it's, I don't know, you should go, like, I think if you've been on the fence before with the Pokemon game, I think this is probably your best shot, because it's only gonna get, like, they're only gonna add more friggin' Pokemon, guys. Like, it's not gonna get any easier, I guess.
Yeah, well, I saw the discussion in my at replies where people were talking about, you know, if it's taking skill out of the game, and, you know, someone else saying, well, you could just look that stuff up before.
This game is so easy. The game is so easy either way.
Honestly, I do. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I don't wanna have to look things up. And like you were talking about with Persona, I don't mind if a game just says, hey, they're weak to lightning, you know, to electricity or whatever. Go do it.
Yeah, that's not helping you. That's just making it so you don't need a notebook and a spreadsheet to remember, you know, what all this stuff is weak to. Like, again, Persona 4 and 3 did that, and it is, like, super beneficial, because then I'm not having to, like, oh, man, I got this huge battle coming up with this guy. Like, I don't want to have to reload a save after I've eventually figured out what they're weak to. Like, I should know, right, because I've already fought this guy before.
Right. Well, how about this? If you're listening to this episode and you want, please tweet at me at Joshua Hillier. And my last name is spelled H-I-L-L-Y-E-R. And tell me if you agree with Kevin that I should play this game. And if so, I will play one of the new versions of Pokemon.
I'll buy your copy. Then you just send me the money if you actually like it. If you don't end up liking it, then like, trade it in and get something that you will like.
No. I wouldn't do that. But I think I probably will give it a go. I'm just curious if everybody
and
thinks it's
Moon.
A good point to jump on the Pokemon ship, because I enjoyed Pokemon Go over the summer, and my daughter thought it was super cool. Everybody at the university where I work was excited about it. So that was a fun thing, and it made me want to play, just like a lot of people, it made me want to play one of the regular games again. So, yeah. So you said I should get Moon, huh?
Yeah, you should get, well, especially if you're going to play it at night, because what I've started noticing is that, and it does actually keep track of the internal clock on the 3DS, which is really cool. So, like, when I'll put it to sleep, like, on the weekend, let's say on Sunday, like I played a little bit in the morning, then I put it to sleep. I did a bunch of stuff during the day and I came back to like 7 o'clock at night. It's like I went, you know, open it up and now it's dark out. And mm-hmm. like all the dialogue changes when you go into Pokemon Center and be like, oh, good evening. You know, and
oh,
like
cool.
and little things like that, but that's like an Animal Crossing thing, right? So
yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I
it
think
sounds like you should play some Animal Crossing. By the way, you've mentioned it a couple times well, now.
It's $20 now. It's one of the Nintendo Happy Price games. So
yeah, Happy Price. I like that.
Do you know what that is?
No.
That's what that's what they call them in Japan. They're not Nintendo Selects. They're Happy Price.
Oh, that's so awesome. Japan has so much charm, you know? Like, I wish that we could call something Happy Price here and people wouldn't think it was lame. Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to move to Japan this year.
Life seems better over there.
It's not, though.
Oh. It's all just, like, product naming and art styles, huh?
No, but they do have a Clear Smoke 2DS.
What I wouldn't do for a Clear Nintendo Switch... Like, that's what I've been thinking about. Maybe like a translucent blue or something.
I don't know. They got translucent black. They got teal Pokemon with Sun and Moon included, 2DS for $100.
In Japan only?
Play it in Japanese. Yeah, of course. Yeah. All the cool stuff's in Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, yeah, what was it? Actually, I was going to pull up the actual thing that it is called. So what do you
Happy
think of
price. I love that. Yeah. Okay, yeah, you were saying.
Oh no, there it is. Yeah, it's and I'll send you actually maybe I can just make this like the artwork of the show. I think this is so much better and I'm going to send you a thing in the Skype so you can at least take a look at it while we're talking, but okay. Yeah, I think that's just it's really cool to actually like really have been enjoying Nintendo games lately. I guess.
Yeah. 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 And I know that you've had an up and down relationship with them over the last couple of years.
Well, it's just like the last 2 years has been like not great versions of these like franchises because they've been doing the chart shot.
Yeah. No, Splatoon has been the main thing they've done in the last few years that I really respected and thought of as original. Okay. I'm looking at this picture you sent me. Yes.
Happy Price. Get Fire Emblem for $20 in Japan where it's like $1,000 now because it's out of print here.
Yeah, well, that just, and, you know, Fire Emblem is a very serious game series, and just looking at that, it just looks so joyful with the Happy Price written above it.
Yeah, Happy Price also for the Taiko Drum Master game. So if you want to get, actually, if you really want to get it, like, if you're crazy and you want to get, like, a bunch of Japanese 3DS games, you can get a bunch of great Japanese and even some that are exclusive for some Happy Prices.
Yeah, well, that's very intriguing. So what does that make regular prices? Angry price?
No, they're just way too expensive. Like 3D video games in Japan are just nuts. They're so expensive.
Depressing price? Nutty yeah. price?
It's like $60 for a 3DS game price.
Yeah, no, that's not good. Unless it's Fire Emblem or something where there is a ton of gameplay. So we were talking about Persona a minute ago, and there was an announcement earlier today, or appears to have been basically a confirmation, that there's not going to be Persona 5 on Nintendo Switch.
Can't get all those Larrabee locks. I mean, I think that's the first one that I've actually missed.
But you know, you have had a killer record there. You know, if this was sports gambling, I would certainly be okay putting some hard money down on the Larrabee lock.
But I think when the guy was talking about it, the PR guy from Atlas, I think we need to understand that things can change.
Yeah. Well, and it seemed sort of dismissive, you know, it wasn't really a very well planned statement or anything to where indeed things can change. And that could just be a one off statement that a PR person made instead of an official statement from Atlas.
Or I think you have the opportunity next year to have a new PlayStation Portable. Maybe we'll just come out on that.
That would be cool. That would certainly be cool.
They're going to make one more.
You think so?
Yeah.
Is that a Larrabee lock or is that just you think?
No, and this is... I was getting some stuff like a couple weeks ago, but these are just all really educated guesses with sometimes hearing some scuttlebutt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's not like... I mean, who knows what they're going to do, but I think we're going to get another PlayStation, like, you know what would make sense? PS4 portable.
It makes a lot of sense, especially with Nintendo Switch coming out this year. And I think it's going to prove that there is a market for such a thing and that people really get what it is. And the reason that Vita didn't work, at least in the United States, was more about there being that lack of perceived power, but it's kind of doing the home console gaming thing in a certain way, but not really. But if you actually just call it like PS4 portable and people know, okay, PS4 games will run on this thing. That would be really attractive. So interesting, Kevin. I'll just leave it at that. Interesting.
All right. Well, I'm running out of time. So we're going to have to kind of wrap up here. But yeah, I guess we actually didn't really talk about old games that much. But video games are still cool, no matter if they were made in the 80s, 90s, or today's hits. So
yeah, yeah. Well, and I'm looking at the at replies for this episode. And one person asked... if we had any quick hit book recommendations to start off the new year. Do you have any, Kevin?
Yeah, I guess it depends what you want to read about. I think a good book is Phil Knight's book on Nike is really good. And I usually read mostly nonfiction stuff. But yeah, if you want to check out if you want some like not self-development book stuff, but some business stuff, that's really good. I think it's, yeah, I will mention up, if you didn't get Powered Up, Chris Kohler's book, I thought that was really good.
Yeah, and that's back in print now, so you can get it at a reasonable price, and Chris actually, you know, will get some portion of the sale, so that's a good
thing. Exactly. And outside of that, I don't know, actually, you know what I really looked at when I was in Target today, as we're talking about Target trips? I looked really hard at the Harry Potter books.
Hmm. Okay. Have you read them before?
No, but Stephen King brought it up in... on writing about, like, you know, how great she is at, you know, writing fiction. Mm-hmm. I just thought it'd be, I mean, who doesn't like Harry Potter? I guess I've always been hounded on for not watching the movies or reading the books. So,
yeah. Well, and honestly, like, I think the books, and this is a pet peeve of mine, by the way, if somebody says, oh, well, the book's way better, you know, in such a dismissive way, I get upset as somebody who really loves film and visual media in general. But this is a case where the books really are much better. So I think you should do it. And they're on Audible now.
Yeah, maybe I could just do that instead.
Which, yeah, I mean, I'm thinking about listening to them now because I read them a long, long time ago and didn't finish reading the series, actually, over the years. So I might go and listen to them. That's the way to do it, by the way. Audible is just incredible. I love it.
Yeah, I've had an Audible account for coming up on like 7 or 8 years now. Two books a month every month. So I have like a billion books.
Well, my recommendation ties in with Audible. I'm listening to the Gunslinger series, which is going to be an HBO series in the not too distant future. Stephen King as well, who we're just talking about. And
God, he writes so much.
I know, it's insane. But this is kind of looked at as like his epic, you know, like his magnum opus, just all these, it's like 7 books long or maybe longer than that. Actually, I'm only on the second book right now, and it's just so good. And the narration is incredible in the Audible version. So I'd recommend people listen to that. It's just such a strange world, and there's teleporting and time travel and sort of some unknown horror, you know, you might call it cosmic horror. It's really good. That's a book series that I'm very much into, but I don't know. He said quick hit recommendations, or Jackie said that. So I'm not sure if it's supposed to be a short book, because these books certainly aren't short. So you might be better off with the nonfiction stuff that Kevin was talking about. There's always this book called Train of Thought, written by some guy that you can get on Amazon. It's not bad.
It's about trains.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like toy trains. Just somebody obsessing over that for about 300 pages.
You can find all those great things on the internet, as well as this podcast, usually every single week for the most part. And I'm sure, I think this is going to come out tomorrow, so I'll have another episode for you guys potentially on Friday. I don't know yet. It's been a kind of, like I said, crazy week. So we'll see what happens. But you can also check out Josh's stuff at joshuahillier.com. You got some stuff coming up on the podcast?
I don't have anything to announce with the podcast right now. I've been really into mysteries lately and mystery podcasts. There's several good ones, and I'm talking with the host of a couple of fairly large ones, and you're going to see them on the show in the not-too-distant future, but I can't confirm who they are at this point.
Awesome. Yep. Well, make sure you go and you can subscribe, like, share, all that stuff.
Yeah, please do. I need some reviews on iTunes. That's such a helpful thing.
Oh, yeah. Head up on iTunes and look for Digital Rights in that search bar up in the upper right-hand corner and subscribe and submit a review. Yeah, you're right. Those are super-duper important.
The best thing you can do for any podcast you like, or one of the best things.
Absolutely. Even better, if you do like the show and you want to help it continue going forward into 2017 and help me expand some of its content, I'd love if you go to patreon.com/backofmyplay, become a patron supporter on there. Or if you just really like it and you want to make a one-time donation, you can do it at backofmyplay.com or fitcast.network. There's PayPal tabs over there, and it takes, you know, a couple minutes to do, and it is greatly appreciated. And I really do have my day brightened up every single time I get a email from either PayPal, which actually doesn't really ever happen, or Patreon, which happens every once in a while. We've had some people drop off probably towards, you know, with holiday expenses and stuff like that. It'd be great to have some people jump up in their place and help out. And again, thank you so much for everyone. Go ahead.
Yeah, just let me say this. I mean, if you give money to the Fitcast Network and to Back in My Play or Kevin, there's nobody I know who's more passionate about this stuff than him. So, I mean, this is it's a good move, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and I got to make sure I can get another copy of Chrono Trigger at that Square Enix sale on Black Friday in 2017. So I need at least $5.
Yeah.
Plus $6 shipping. But yeah, and again, I think, you know, the guess is that this Back of My Play is going to expand quite a bit this year if I have my way with things. But again, this is, hey guys, guess what? There's really no way to get advertisers for a show about retro video games with the small pocket of the internet that we are in. So right. It really does have to be audience supported, and that's why I kind of, you know, make this a big deal, and I would like to be able to give you guys more great content, more great guests, more great games going into the next year. And a lot of that will depend on, you know, if you know, you got to show up, and hopefully you guys do, and I appreciate everyone that has and everyone that tunes in every single week, so thank you for that.
Wonderful.
All right, well, that's going to wrap it up, and thank you so much for, again, tuning in this week and for listening to Back My Play. I hope you guys enjoyed this extra little show this week, and we will see you in a little bit. Take care.
Peace.